fiery horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty "Hi-yo, Silver!" The Lone Ranger. Faithful Indian companion Tonto, the daring and resourceful masked rider of the plains, led the fight for law and order in the early western United States. Nowhere in the pages of history can one find a greater champion of justice. Return with us now to those thrilling days of yesteryear. From out of the past come the thundering hoofbeats of the great horse Silver. The Lone Ranger rides again.
Come on, Silver! Let's go, big fellow! Hail, Silver! Hail!
In 1867, when the steel rails of the Iron Horse penetrated the Wyoming Territory, the Union Pacific Railroad Company laid out a town and called it Cheyenne. Within a few months, the population reached 6,000 people, mostly men who knew no restrictions of law and order. There was no law until the vigilantes took over. There were no delays, no trials, and juries never disagreed. Law and order was established, and people like Laura Bates were able to mind their own business. Laura ran a general store.
Hi there, son. What can I do for you?
I have a list of supplies. I guess I can get them all right here, can't I?
Well, if you can't get them in my emporium, you can't get them in town. I got everything from side meat to sassafras and bacon to blasting powder. Here, let me see your list.
Here it is.
Sizable list.
The 14-year-old boy who stood at the counter glanced toward the front of the store. Beyond the window, he could see an Indian waiting at the hitch rack. The Indian's name was Tonto, and the boy was Dan Reed, the nephew of the Lone Ranger.
It's a downright sizable list, but I can do it. Question is, can you?
What do you mean?
Well, being as you're a stranger to me, it'd be downright careless business to let you have this much goods on credit.
Oh, I have money to pay for it.
You a newcomer to town?
No, ma'am. We're just traveling past.
Oui?
Oh, the Indian out front is with me.
Just the two of you, huh?
Well, no, ma'am. There are three of us.
Where's the third?
Well, he's in camp. He's waiting for us.
Well, doggone, look at who's here. Peg leg, Brindle, you dead ratted old sidewinder. How in tarnation are you?
Well, first rate. Things look just about the same as they did a year ago.
And I can say the same for you. I figured when you shoved off to South Pass City to do some blasting in the gold fields, I'd seen the last of you.
Not on your life, Laurie. Not me. I always turn up sooner or later.
So does a bad penny. You know, Peg Leg specializes in handling blasting powder, sonny. That's how he lost his leg.
Oh.
Yeah, I dilly-dallied too long after lighting the fuse. Who's the youngster, Laurie?
What is your name, son?
Dan Reed.
Right, pert looking. Fast on your feet?
What do you mean?
I need a touch and go.
A what?
A touch and go, boy. Touch and go. When I set a charge of blasting powder, I put a fuse to it. Someone has to touch a match to the fuse, then go. If you don't go fast, you don't go at all. How about it? Want the job?
Well, thanks, Mr. Prindle, but... Well, I'm not looking for a job.
You mean to say you're hiring a helper, Peg Leg? You must be getting old.
Special job, Laurie. Special job I got lined up. Gonna need some blasting powder. 2, maybe 3 kegs.
Well, sit down for a few minutes till I fill Dan's order. Then I'll take care of you.
No hurry. Time's a-hanging for me. Got 2 days to kill before I shove out on my new job. Change your mind about working for me, son?
Well, I'd like to, but...
Well, think it over. I'll be in the Plains Hotel until Thursday. You change your mind, you come and tell me you're ready to be a touch and go.
It was evening when Dan Reed and Tonto reached the secluded camp where the Lone Ranger had been waiting. It was after supper when Dan told about the man whom he had met in Old Cheyenne.
He certainly was interesting. I wish you could have heard him talk.
How about you, Tonto? Did you see anyone interesting?
No, me not see him.
I'm sure Dirk is somewhere around here.
Dirk?
Yes, the man we're looking for, Dan.
Well, I didn't know you were looking for anyone.
A thief. He and his partner stole a payroll from the Union Pacific.
Oh, golly.
They were captured on the south part of Ace Terrell's ranch, just a few miles north of Cheyenne. The money was never found.
Well, if they were captured...
They escaped from prison a few weeks ago.
Oh.
The robbery was committed near town.
Do you think they'll come back here?
I think the payroll money is hidden somewhere near here. The thieves couldn't have gone very far with it. They were captured too quickly.
The man I saw in the store seems to have traveled a lot. I might ask him if he's seen Dirk.
Oh, he's probably left town by this time.
Oh, no. He said he'd be in town for a couple of days in case I changed my mind about working for him. Well, if you want me to, I'll go into town and ask Peg Leg Prindle.
Oh, what's that?
Did
you say Peg Leg Prindle?
Yes. Why?
Is he the one who was in the store?
Yes, but I don't think...
Do you remember that vigilante we talked to?
Me remember. Him named Ben Nelson.
Yes, he's the one who told me Dirk had been seen near here. He was seen talking to Prindle. Dan, you said Prindle offered you a job.
Yes.
Is it still open?
Well, I guess so. He said I should look him up if I changed my mind about taking it.
Take it.
You mean I'm to go to work for Peg Leg?
That's it.
Me saddle Victor, Dan.
Oh, thanks, Tonto. I'll help. Golly, Peg Leg didn't look like a crook.
I'm sure he's not a crook.
Steady, Victor. Steady.
Peg Leg probably has no idea that Dirk is an escaped robber.
You know where to find Peg Leg, Tonto?
Yeah, he said he'd be staying at the Plains Hotel.
If you get the job, Dan, let me know.
Right.
Victor, all ready, Dan.
Good luck to you.
Thanks. Steady, boy. Come on, Victor.
Peg Leg Prindle occupied a room in the rear of the hotel's first floor, and he had company. The man who sat on the small bed was the escaped thief, Larry Dirk.
I sure was surprised to see you, Dirk. You were so particular in saying we had to keep our business arrangements secret.
That still goes.
Well, it don't look like it when you come right here to my hotel room. The other day when we talked, you didn't want to come into town at all.
That was the other day.
Yes,
things
but then...
have changed since then. I've got to work fast.
You said we'd start out on the job at the end of this week.
It's all changed. We're starting out on the job right away.
You mean tomorrow morning? Well, maybe we could do it if we don't start too early. I've got quite a few things to get ready.
I mean tonight.
Jumping sassafras, Dirk. I couldn't start out tonight, not by a jugful.
You've got horses and a wagon, haven't you?
Yeah, sure.
You
but...
said you were going to get blasting powder today. Did you get it?
Yes, I got that, but there's a lot of other things I'll likely need. Besides, I ought to have some fella for touch and go.
For what?
A helper. Someone to touch off the fuse. I can't get away fast like I used to before I got this Peg Leg.
I said we're gone tonight, and that's all there is to it.
Now I wonder who could be rapping on my door at this time of night. Land's sakes, it's past 9 o'clock.
I'll answer it.
Dagnabbit, can't I even answer the door of my own room?
Shut up. Who's there?
It's Dan Reed. Do you remember me?
Who's Dan Reed?
I remember. He's the boy I was talking to in the store. Told him if he wanted a job.
Oh, Mr. Prindle. Did you hear me?
Come on in.
Oh. Hello, Mr. Prindle. I didn't know you had company.
Evening, Daniel. I'm glad to see you again. This is a gent that's hired me to do some powder work.
Oh.
Did Pegleg speak to you about a job?
Yes, he did.
Do you still want it?
Well, Yes, I guess so.
You're hired.
You might at least let me hire my own assistant.
Well, go ahead.
You're hired, Dan.
Did you come on foot or horseback?
My horse is tied out front.
We'll take care of it later. We're going to start out right away.
Right away?
That's what I said.
Dirk, let's talk that over a little bit. Now, if you could just give me...
Dirk!
What about it?
Is that your name?
You heard it right.
You... Oh, golly.
Daniel, what's the matter?
Yeah, boy, what's the matter? Why are you looking so wide-eyed? Maybe you know something about me, huh?
You're a thief. You broke out of jail.
Great day.
I'm getting out.
No, you don't.
Oh. Get back there.
Oh, Dan.
Keep quiet.
Dan, are you hurt?
Oh, I'm not hurt. He pushed me when I was off balance.
You make noise enough to bring anyone to this room, and I'll add to that noise with this gun.
Now, see here. If what this boy says is true...
It is true. He and his partner stole a Union Pacific payroll. They broke out of jail.
All right. Now you know the truth. What are you going to do about it?
I'll tell
you what you're going to do. You're going to help me just as you agreed, and you're going to use this boy as your helper. And we're going to start right now. My pal's waiting out and back.
Dan, looks like we got no choice.
Open that window. Hurry up.
All right. I'm going to.
Now get this straight. I've got to travel fast because I left a dead man at the edge of town.
What?
Yeah, Kit Fawcett, the critter that broke out of jail with me. I got a new partner waiting outside. I'm telling you that so you'll know I won't hesitate to shoot again if necessary.
Pete, you out there?
Yeah.
Cover these two as they come out the window. As soon as I join you, we'll tie them till we get to where we're going.
Soon after Dirk and his new partner left town with Dan and Pegleg as their prisoners, the body of the dead man was found and brought into the coroner's office next door to the hotel. He was identified as one of the two payroll robbers. Then the sheriff entered the hotel and approached the clerk.
Evening, Sheriff. What's all the excitement out in front?
A dead man was found at the edge of town. He's Kit Fawcett. He was Larry Dirk's partner.
Kit Fawcett? The ones who stole railroad money?
The same. And, Charlie, I just heard that someone resembling Dirk has been seen talking to Pegleg Prindle. I want to see Pegleg.
I'll take you to his room. It's back at the end of the hall.
Anyone looking like Dirk come in here tonight?
Just a boy. That's his horse out in front.
A boy.
Of course, Dirk might have come in while I was away from the desk.
Don't seem to answer the door. Locked.
I have a key.
There's no one here.
There's the answer, the open window.
Well, come on. I'm going to get a posse out right away. I want Larry Dirk, Pegleg Prindle, and the boy that left that white horse out in front.
Look out front. There's two men alongside the white horse.
The Lone Ranger and Tonto had ridden into town and found Dan's horse in front of the hotel. They looked up as the sheriff and clerk approached.
Hey there, you.
He's masked.
You know the owner of that horse?
Yes.
Then get your hands up. The owner of that horse has sneaked out the back window of the hotel with Pegleg Prindle and the killer Larry Dirk.
Oh, take Victor's reins. We've got to make a run.
No tricks.
I don't know any tricks, Sheriff. But I've been told that a good way to disarm a man is this.
Look out! Why are you...
going, Tuttle. Try to be quiet. Come to this.
The curtain falls on the first act of our Lone Ranger story. Before we continue with the next exciting scenes, please permit us to pause for just a moment. to continue our story. The Lone Ranger and Tonto raced out of town leading Dan's horse, Victor, and maintained a fast pace until they reached their camp in the woods.
Pack our things, Tonto.
Need build fire for light.
Steady, big fella. No. But we can't pack in darkness. We'll leave. No time to build a fire.
Make that blanket roll.
Tie it on. We've got to find Dirk, Prindle, and Dan before the lawmen catch them.
That's right.
The lawmen might start shooting before they learn Dan isn't one of Dirk's pals.
Steady, scout. Steady, fella. Then.
Dirk must have been with Peg Leg when Dan arrived. They may be sure of one thing.
What that?
Dan never went for those two of his own accord. He wouldn't leave Victor tied in front of the hotel.
That's right.
There, that'll hold. Are you ready?
Yeah, me ready.
Easy, big fella, easy. We'll try to find tracks in the rear of the hotel. Come on, Victor.
Get him up, scout.
Come on, Pindle.
Larry Dirk sat beside a man named Pete, who handled the reins of Pegleg Prindle's wagon. Pegleg and Dan lay on the floor of the wagon, tightly bound near the blasting powder and fuse.
If this ain't a fine kettle of fish, a fine mess of stew, a pretty fix. Tied up in my own wagon, captured by killers and made off with in my own rig. A man of my reputation.
Mr. Prindle, have you tried to get your hands loose?
Man of my background and character. Man that has had 40 years of honest toil behind him.
If we could just get these ropes off.
Ropes? If I didn't know there was ropes on my wrists, I'd swear they were steel bands that tight. Oh, what a fool I was. I should have suspected something wrong about this job when Dirk first mentioned it. I should have known that he wouldn't pay what he promised for an honest piece of work. I should have been...
Did Dirk say what he wants you to do for him?
He said it was a blasting, that's all.
My horse was left behind. Maybe my friends will find it, know there's something wrong, and come looking for us.
Don't hold to no hope, Dan.
But we might...
Things are bad now. If we're found, they'll be worse.
Worse?
Dirk killed his partner. He'll be wanted for hanging. The law will think that we're in cahoots with him.
Maybe not.
I was seen talking to Dirk before I knew who he was. Then you come to see me. You're in as deep as I am. If the law don't find us, Dirk will likely kill us. If the law does find us, we'll hang along with Dirk and that critter he calls Pete. There's no hope. One side is dark and the other side is darker.
But my friends might find us before the law does.
Then Dirk will kill your friends.
Oh, who there?
I wonder where we are.
Hold on back there. We're going over a few rocks. Then we're at the end of the trip.
Where are we? I don't know.
Hold on.
Go there. Come on.
Down, light the lantern, Pete.
Right.
I wonder where we are. Looks like a cave or a tunnel.
What's the difference?
I'll cut you two free. You can come out of the wagon now. We're inside a cave.
Inside a cave?
That's right. Come on, get out of there. This is where you go to work, Pegleg. There's a couple of other lanterns over there near the wall, Pete.
I'll light them up.
Nice big place, huh? I expect you're surprised to find that we came to a place so near to town.
Nothing surprises me anymore.
Now, Pegleg, there's no need to be as downhearted as you are. Everything will be all right. All I want is a little job of blasting. And you and your young friend can go. Meanwhile, don't try to escape, because Pete will be right by the entrance. You see, there's a fortune hidden in this cave.
Yeah? Stolen payroll.
Take one of those lanterns and walk to the rear of the cave. Now, we hid out here for a time, long enough to hide the cash and seal it behind a rock wall. Now, all you gotta do, Pegleg, is blast the rock away.
Yeah, it's like a dead end ahead of us.
That's right. The tunnel narrows down. Go ahead a little farther. Narrows right down to a dead end about 4 feet wide. Pegleg, take a look at that dead end.
What about it?
That's what you've got to blast. Blow that dead end away, and you'll see that the cave continues.
And the cache is hid back of that wall?
That's right. Now you can start right in. You've got all the drills and everything else you need. Yeah. I looked the wagon over to make sure.
That stream of water comes out from the other side of the wall.
After I'm through, what about me and Dan'l?
Why, I don't care what you do then, Pegleg. I got nothing against you. I'll pay you and you can go your way.
Fat chance of you letting me go to tell the law about you.
By the time you get to the law, I'll be a long way from here and Pete with me. Now get out your drills and get started.
Hour after hour through the night, the sound of drilling filled the cave. Dan proved a valuable helper to old Pegleg.
Oh, this drill's gone dull, Dan. We'll get another.
How are you coming along, Pegleg?
Oh, we're coming. This rock is downright hard, and it takes a lot of time to get holes deep enough to set powder.
Here's another drill.
Oh, all right, Dan. Let's get on with it.
In the meantime, the Lone Ranger and Tonto moved slowly through the night, following the tracks of the wagon they had picked up in the rear of the hotel. They made frequent stops and dismounted to study the trail.
The moon were brighter, we could make much better time.
That's right.
Here, Tonto. Here's a soft spot. You can see the tracks of the wagon.
That's good.
I hope we reach Dan before the lawmen pick up this trail.
Lawmen lose trail a long way back.
Is that easy, big fella? We'll continue in the same direction. All right, Victor. Come on, Silver.
Get him up, Scout.
Dirk's partner was at the mouth of the cave and becoming increasingly impatient as the rhythmic hammering on the drill continued.
Big Dirk. Took that old man an awful long time to get that blasting powder set.
Take it easy, Pete. We've got plenty of time.
The lawman will be on our trail.
Not before daylight. Even then, it'll be hard to follow. The law couldn't find it when we made off with the payroll in the first place. The ground's no softer now.
Dirk, you didn't really mean to let those two go free, did you?
Not a chance. Pegleg may not know it, but he's setting powder for his own death.
Daylight was just beginning to show at the mouth of the cave when Pegleg announced that his work was done.
Throw the drills and things into the wagon, Dan.
Right. All set, Peg.
Yeah, good work.
Yeah, the powder's in place and fused. Fire any time, Dirk.
Fine. Now get your hands up. You too, Dan.
What? Hold on.
You heard me up with him. Rope him, Pete.
Right.
Now, wait a minute. You said...
I say a lot of things, Pegleg. Rope him tight, Pete.
Leave it to me, double-crosser.
What are you going to do with us?
Don't take much skill to light the fuse after it's all set, Pegleg. I can light it myself.
Oh, so that's it.
The same blast that uncovers the payroll should cover you two. Of course, if the rocks don't do a complete job, we'll finish it.
That'll hold the old man. Have the boy tied in a minute.
Jack, you better think twice before you do this.
I've thought it over a dozen times, Pegleg.
Maybe it takes more understanding than you figure to light a fuse the right way.
That'll hold him.
Now just rope him to those rocks.
I got the nooses all set to slip over them. There's one. And the other. They won't get away.
And we may as well light the fuse. Now you can watch, Pegleg. Tell me if I do it right.
I'm watching. I'm watching a polecat make a fool of himself. You don't know blasting powder, Dirk. You don't know a thing about blasting powder. If you did, you'd see why I needed a touch and go.
Maybe I'll learn. As I see it, all I got to do is strike the match. Then hold it to the fuse till the fuse starts to burn. Now that goes.
You got a lot to learn, Dirk, and you'll learn fast.
It's lighter, Dirk. Get back away from it.
So long, Pegleg. Sorry you got to go like this.
Hold on, Dirk. Did you think I believed what you said about letting us go? I didn't trust you for a minute. That fuse won't blow off any powder near us.
What's that?
There's powder at the end of that fuse, all right, but you don't know where it is. It's not where you think.
Pegleg, listen to me.
Maybe it's right near where you're standing. Dan went there a few times to take a drink from the stream. Maybe he put powder there.
Pete, move over.
Maybe you're moving right on top of it. That's where I went once to sharpen a drill. You thought I was sharpening a drill. Maybe I put powder there then.
Look, the fuse is branching out. It's burning on both sides of the cave.
Yeah, you're likely to hit powder most anywhere, Dirk. We got a lot of fuse all connected. See there? The spark has gone beneath some rocks. Maybe it'll come out right near where you're standing.
No, I'm getting out of here.
The only safe place you can be sure of is outside the cave.
Come on, Pete. We gotta get out.
I hear hoofs.
That's Victor! Victor! Victor!
Hello there, Dirk.
My friends have come.
Your friends?
Yes, they followed us here. It's all right. There'll be no blast.
Dan, are you all right?
Yes. Peg Leg got rid of those two.
Get away. Get away from here. The blast.
Run them, Toto. The law wants these two.
Please. Please. I'll go with you. Let me get away from here. The powder. It'll go any second. I don't want to blow up. Get me away from here. Get me away.
Stop your noise, you pair of whimpering puppies. There's no powder buried here. There never was.
What?
There, Dan. You're free.
No powder.
Well, you're finally getting it through your head that we outsmarted you with drilling noises and a lot of fuse.
There you are, Pegleg.
Thank you, mister. I don't know who you are or why you're masked, but you're all right.
The payroll money is right behind this wall. They threw it there through a cleft.
Can you get it, Pegleg?
I can get it for the law.
When you do, you'll be in line for a reward. Are those two well tied, Toto?
Plenty good.
Then hold them here until the sheriff comes. I'll go and get him.
You got me into this, Dirk. You got me into this, and I'll hang for helping you.
You're doggone right you will. And the only satisfaction you'll get will be that Larry Dirk will hang along with you. Dan, just tell me one thing. Who is that masked friend of yours?
Oh, gosh, Peg Leg, I thought you knew. He's the Lone Ranger.
This is a product of the Lone Ranger Incorporated, created and produced by George W. Trendle and directed by Charles D. Livingston. Tonight's story was written by Fran Stryker. The part of the Lone Ranger is played by Brace Beamer.